Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
The owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American Dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize true international under pressure.
Mark Reardon.
So in the words of my late friend Aretha Franklin, show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
I have to tell this story because this show on this station is still relatively new. What, a week three or something like that? Mm-hmm. So when I play, we're trying to be patient here because everyone's really, really busy, and we're going to have more show opens than just one. We have one show open, and I've actually had people who have called or emailed to say, hey, do you know Al Sharpton spelled respect wrong in that soundbite? I'm like, yeah, I am.
What?
I'm aware
what?
Of that. That's exactly why I played it. How is everyone this afternoon?
I was playing it because Al Sharpton always has such relevant and interesting things to
yes,
say.
Yes, no, that's exactly right. How are you doing this afternoon, Sue Thomas?
Fine, thank you. It's a big day at my house. Oscar the Bulldog puppy is now 17 weeks old.
Wow.
And the significance of that is?
That's a big anniversary, I guess.
No, this is the first time he walked down the stairs in the house. Now, I know that sounds ridiculous, but
it does.
I live in an old house with a steep, steep staircase. And I'm telling you, he's pushing 30 pounds.
Sure.
So to pick that dog up and carry him down the stairs, he
it's
can
a good
go
workout.
Up fine.
Yeah.
Was almost killing me. But today, like a big boy, I put a leash on him, like the trainer said, and she said, don't pull him down, just let him go. And sure enough, he looked terrible, and I thought he was going to fall, but he did not. I no longer have to carry a 30-pound dog up the stairs.
No somersaults down. Or anything like that going
no,
down
the
stairs?
No, he kind of slid at the end, and I was able to find my other shoe. You know how they'll take a shoe and you can't find it? And I looked in every...
Oh, the dogs you mean?
Yes,
yeah, sure.
Every spot. I finally found it outside underneath a chair.
That's where I find mine. I find my shoes, my flip-flops. I found them out in the backyard because Duke, he's my... I guess I still call him a puppy. He's about 2 years old right now, just a mix of about everything. But that's what he does. He grabs. And Chase used to do that. My lab, who passed away, unfortunately. Aww. He would be the shoe person and would do that every once in a while. Well, that's good. That's a step forward,
yes,
right?
Yes, it's you. I cannot tell you how huge that is. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. You don't want to be dragging a dog downstairs. 30
oh, that's
pounds.
A good point.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yes. I didn't think about it that way.
Yes.
But getting up in the middle of the night during a potty visit would not be too much fun.
So big boy.
So I went to the game last night.
How
as you
was it?
Might remember, it was my birthday, and my wife surprised me. She had some tickets from her company, and I had not been to a baseball game in a long time. It had been, you know, more than a year, clearly, because we didn't have any games in person last year. And I was thinking back. I mean, was there a year over the course of my 56 years on the planet that I did not go to a baseball game, a Major League Baseball game? I don't think there was since I was the age of 5. Could I be wrong about that? Was there 1 year? Maybe, but I think highly unlikely because I would go to games all the time. Whether I was when I lived in Columbia, we'd come here to St. Louis even every once in a while. Went to a Royals game, and I didn't miss very many games. My show in Milwaukee was on in the evening after I did a morning show, and then I did an 8 to midnight show, and wow. I was on after the games. So I would go to a lot of the games, and and watch them. So I go to the game last night, and I park. I don't know if you guys go to the games, a lot of times I will park here at the station and walk over. I was not in the mood for that. And I also thought, well, there's going to be plenty of parking, and it can't be that expensive. So the lot that, that we park in, and by the way, I should mention this. This is sad. I had not seen the Eat Right in person, all boarded up. And
it's a bummer.
There's just something wrong about that. I don't like it. Right?
It has been sold. They're going to reopen it.
Oh, that's
it's
good.
Just not yet.
I thought I had heard that, but you know, now it's just got boards all over it. So I sometimes I park in that lot, but there's a lot right across the street to the, I guess that would be to the north, and it's a pretty inexpensive lot, and they monitor it. So we parked in there. My wife actually drove down separately because she was coming from the burbs. So we park, we take the walk down. What's like 3 blocks to the stadium? You know, you pass by patios and. Right as I was getting to the stadium, I, you know, we're about to walk in the gate two. I'm like, I said some words that I can't say on the radio. I forgot my mask, right?
Did you forget it here?
No. It was just in the car. And here's in my defense. So I had it in my vest that I had on, but I'm a wimp when it comes to the cold. So I put a heavier jacket on, didn't have the mask. Now, some people have asked me, they probably had the mask. If you walked into the stadium, would they hand you a mask? I think they probably would. So Becky goes in, and I go get the mask. I'm like, oh, man, all right. Well, that's only the first inning. And I'm outside the stadium, and I hear this.
There's a long one to left field. Oh, no. That ball is gone. A home run for Goldschmidt. The fireworks sounded like the ball hitting Goldschmidt's bat for Paul's first home run of the year. And the Cardinals are on the board. How did that take off?
And it was his, I think it was his 250th home run, career home run. So I'm walking into the stadium and I hear this and I'm saying more bad words underneath my breath and I text Rooney and this is what I get in response.
The 1-2 pitch inside, ball two, 2 balls, 2 strikes. And our friend Mark Reardon got to hear the call of Goldie's home run as he was walking back into the stadium after forgetting his mask.
On his birthday.
So he didn't hear it in person.
And it's his birthday today. You can't remember everything.
Yeah. I guess not.
Yeah, I can't remember everything.
Oh, my God, that is
there
awesome.
You go. But I was wondering what the experience would be like. First of all, the radio broadcast, and Ricky Horton was on the show yesterday, it just booms through the stadium and really outside because there's not as much crowd noise, so you can really hear those guys. Now, when I was at my seats, I couldn't. But just walking through the concourse, it's sort of like walking through. I was joking. I went with this friend of mine who's a big Pittsburgh Pirates fan, and we sit down. When I saw him at the seats, I'm like, this is not a big deal. It's like being in a Pirates game. There's nobody there, right? But in this situation, because there's not a lot of people there, if you walk through the concourse later in the game, it's almost like walking through later in the game when a lot of people have cleared out. Mm. But the Cardinals were full of offense, and things were great. So here's my theory about what happened last night. So it was my birthday on the 13th. That was the first run of 14, as you know. And the Cardinals, by the way, they wasted them all last night because they're down 6-0 right now.
Right.
So the baseball gods were actually, in a weird way, looking out for me because I missed that Goldie home run, but there were 13 runs scored when I was in that building in Busch Stadium last night watching that game. And I think it was the fifth or the sixth inning lasted about an hour and a half.
That's amazing.
Batted around the order. But it was fun. It was good to be back in the game. Now, questions. Do you have questions about the game experience?
When you are sitting there, how far away are you from other people? Is it four seats? Is it, you know, rows? Like, how do they have you spaced out?
The way that it was for we were behind the Cardinals dugout, about 25 rows behind the Cardinals dugout. And it was four seats on one end of that block of seats, and then nobody next to us, you know, nobody, and then four more seats on the end. And then there was nobody in front of you in the row directly in front of you. And then two rows in front of you, the same thing. So there was no seating in the middle. It was all on the ends. So the one thing about, and I certainly don't want to do this when I go to a game, or if I'm lucky to go to a game in the summer when, you know, it's 100 degrees, but I don't want to sit there with a mask on. And I really don't want to sit there with a mask on, period. So I wore the mask into the stadium as per required. And when I sat down in my seat, I never had the mask on. Again.
And are you supposed to? Did people around you?
I think you're supposed to. And here's what I would say about that. If an usher came up to me, one of the fine volunteers at Busch Stadium, I would have absolutely complied and said, yeah, cool, I'll put it on. But
you're outside.
I'm outside. I'm vaccinated. There's no good reason for people outside in these situations to be wearing masks. It's all just making people feel better and virtue signaling. So I'm encouraged that they weren't policing. And my guess is that the edict is, look, we want people to wear their masks. Let's encourage people to wear their masks, certainly when they come in. But let's not harass the fans if they're not wearing the masks, especially because nobody is around them, period.
Yeah, my vaccinated friends who went did not wear a mask, and I don't think anybody gave them any gruff or anything.
Yeah.
Now, this is an obvious question, kind of a dumb question, but did you feel safe?
Oh, absolutely. Having said that, it's interesting because we talked about this last night, you know, when we were hanging out at the game. Even though I feel safe, I'm not quite prepared. Now, I'm not a drinker, so this might not be the best example, but I'm not ready to go to patios when there's, you know, 1,000 people in there or something like that. I just think that that's where you might get yourself into trouble. And I've only had the one dose at this point, so I'm waiting on my second dose. But there is no reason. Now, Joe Strum's going to come on tomorrow afternoon because the single game tickets for May go on sale on Friday at 2 p.m. So if you want to go to the game and you don't have tickets, any of the games, and they're a big series coming in, the Cubs, a bunch of other clubs as well. Joe will come on. We'll ask him a couple of questions about the seating. I think it's all, you know, incumbent upon the city to change things. So when they say, okay, you can have this much capacity, but I bring it up because there's no reason why there should not be a lot more people in that stadium. Because it doesn't feel right. It really doesn't. And there were a couple of home runs last night. There was a lot of offense, but, you know, the crowd noise is only so high because you only have so many people in there.
You know, I can't believe I'm saying this, but to me, to my eyes, to actually seeing the crowd in there and hearing the stories of you and hearing the stories of my friends that I talked to about it earlier today, the level of distancing almost seemed a bit like overkill. It seemed like there was maybe a bit too much.
Well, I think it is, but I think they're being careful. You know, we didn't take Alexa. We were going to do that, but we only had four seats, and I thought, well, let's just buy an extra ticket and then have her sit next to us. Well, they did have the seats roped off, so you can't, if you try fold down a seat that's not in use, you're not, you know, bring a pair of scissors or something like that, but they're probably going to bust you for that. So I think the Cardinals probably are doing everything they can to make sure that the city knows that they're buttoned up on the protocols. And then, hopefully they can open it up to more capacity. And again, I don't see why you shouldn't have at least, I think there were 13,000, 14,000. There's nothing that would prevent half capacity in my mind.
Okay,
you know,
more
17,000 or whatever that might be.
What is the 20,000. Food situation? In other words, are there vendors, or do you just have to go inside?
Yeah, that's a good question. Now, in principle, I take a stand against, maybe I mentioned this yesterday, I don't like paying for food at baseball games because it's so damn expensive.
Same.
And I don't drink, so I'm not paying the $10 beer price.
Same. Me neither.
But I know that the friend that I was with last night, my friend Fitz, he's very, you know, impatient and frustrating. He has to have beer, so he goes up, and he was frustrated by how long it took even to get beer because they don't have people up and down the aisles.
Okay.
You know, the beer man, you
no
don't have
vendor,
that.
You just have to go inside.
But there was some food that was available that I did not take advantage of. I starved myself out and ate at home instead. But, you know, this is the other thing about what happened last night. Let me just state this about our city and St. Louis Cardinals fans. Because Matt Carpenter sucks right now. I mean, we all know that. And we all love Matt Carpenter for what he's done for this team in the past. But he and Paul DeJong, I mean, it was a competition for how low a batting average can go. And I think one of those guys was down to .066 last night. I can't remember who it was. So Carp's been struggling. He gets up there. It's a good at-bat, but he finally crushes one, and it goes deep to right field. But he even pauses because he thinks it's foul. It hits the foul pole. Now, if it hits the foul pole, that's a home run. So he gets a home run. Our fans, Cardinals fans, are so awesome. They know this guy sucks right now. All right? Nothing personal, Matt. But it's not good.
He's in a slump. We'll say that.
Not only do we cheer the home run, we give that guy a curtain call for his first home run in a long time and his
That's
first
nice.
Home run of the season. And I thought it was awesome because,
look,
people want him to
do
better.
Well.
And maybe every once in a while with hitters, especially when you're streaky, we're hoping this happens with DeJong, you can, you know, maybe get on a tear if something clicks. I don't know what's going on. It's amazing to me. We talked about it with Ricky Horton yesterday, but it was a good experience. I was glad to get back into the ballpark just to have fun and sit there and watch a bunch of offense and see Goldie and Arenado. You know, he crushed one last night, too. It's awesome.
I have one more question about the experience. How was the – we're there, and this is one from my dad. Were there the beer vendors walking around, like
no,
up and down
all.
The steps?
Okay. No.
He was wondering if that was going to be the case.
No, I don't – again, why, I don't know why you couldn't have that. What would be the reason for not having that? Just more interaction.
Especially since they're the aluminum cans with the sealed caps and everything.
Right.
You know what I mean? That seems like the safest way to consume and exchange.
I should have probably taken a closer look at this, but it doesn't seem to make any sense with the amount of people who are at the ballpark that there should ever be a wait for a beer.
That's what I mean.
It wouldn't seem too difficult to have enough stations set up for people to come up and just buy beer wherever, but I'm not a beverage expert, so who knows?
Well, maybe they have fewer people working in that sort of thing, too, just to adjust, right?
It's got to just be the limited staff.
Okay.
I'll tell you what looked cool is the view of Ballpark Village and the condos and everything. That looked pretty sweet.
Ooh,
because you know we haven't really seen that from the ballpark. You would have seen some of that last year, at least when they were building. But we got to get to know. Here's who you want to be friends with. I'm just going to tell you right now. Find a friend who has one of those corner condos with the balcony that is right, you know, kind of dead center field, center right, because that's going to be a fun place to hang out during the season. Nelly was at the game last night.
Oh, that's cool. Did they show him on the big screen?
They did show him on the big screen. And then I think he was pulling out behind me. It looked like a Lambo, but then we were trying to determine, because I saw this car go into the lot right by patios, and I thought it was a Lambo, but it seemed like it might have been one of the new vets, but it was sweet looking, and we were told that Nelly was in that. There's a guy down there. This is another aspect I didn't think about. There's a guy named Matt who, what do you call those, the bike people who run the
carriage? Rickshaw.
The rickshaw. So he doesn't have a rickshaw. He's got more of a, I think it's kind of like a golf cart thing, right? But he ferries people back and forth. And Matt's got a bunch of different jobs. He's got a lawn service and stuff like that. But when we were walking up to the stadium, when I had forgotten my mask, I thought, man, what about Matt? And I asked my wife, I'm like, that dude, he probably, I don't know what he pulls in, but you know, you pay him 10 feet, whatever.
Yep.
I'm guessing on a good night, 250, 300 a night.
Easily.
Yeah. So last year, none of that. Right. None of that. And he's back at it. So he was able to ferry us, at least after the game. My wife actually found him and said, hey, Matt's looking for you. I already paid him. So I got a ride there. Yesterday, I wanted to give a little bit more attention to something, because we're going to do a lot of negative stories here today. I can almost guarantee that, just because that's the news cycle. But Sue, I touched on this yesterday and wanted to get into a little more detail, because I think we need more stories like this. And this is the story. By the way, keep in mind, as I frame this story, we'll get into some things this afternoon where everything is about white supremacy. Okay? I'll just toss that out there. Jesse Hamilton is a black woman who worked as a cook for a fraternity house at LSU for 14 years. So I was not in a fraternity. I was GDI. I think you know what you guys know what that means, right?
Yes.
Okay. Blank, damn, independent. Never really got the fraternity thing that much, but I have nothing against them. So she was the woman. They have these, I thought that they called them kind of like house moms, prepare the meals and everything like that. Breakfast, lunch, dinner for Phi Gamma Delta, which is Fiji. And the other thing about the people, the women who do these things, is they become confidants for these young students, and sometimes are able to mentor them and, you know, get them through tough times, giving them advice. So Andrew Fusiati, who is one of the Fiji brothers who went to LSU in the late 1980s, says that she was truly like a mother to us. She treated us like we were her own kids. She was always looking out for us. My guess is that she was cleaning up a little vomit every once in a while when they had too many shots, stuff like that. So April 3rd, Jesse Hamilton's about to turn 74 years old, and some Fiji members and their families surprised her with a big celebration in Baton Rouge. And it was a party. It was like Jesse Hamilton Day, and they were all sort of saying things and talking about her. And there were a couple of people. There was one guy who got up there, and I think this is the guy who delivers the check. I'm not sure if I have his name, but he got emotional when he was talking about this. And they were honoring her, and they were telling her how great she was. And she was sitting there. She's a little older now, but her whole family was taking it in. And then this is a little hard to hear, but this is what happened.
Y'all ready for this?
Yeah.
All right.
Now don't get it.
Actually, it sounds good.
I remember Jesse told me a story a long time ago about this house and what it meant to her.
Yes.
Oh, no! In front of her house.
The problem with the house is it comes with bills and all kinds of stuff.
Yes,
Let's see what we got.
Oh, no.
We're going to pay your mortgage off.
Oh!
They're going to pay her mortgage off.
I just love it.
I love it, too. 51 grand.
Oh,
Jesse, you deserve it. You earned it. And for all the stuff we put up, made you go through over the years, we probably ought to pay you a lot more than this. Thank you. We love you. And we love you. And we hope you're so blessed. And this helps you do some things in life you want to do.
$51,765. I think the house payoff was actually $45,000, but they raised a bunch of money. There were, I think, 90 Fiji members that donated. Some donated, you know, a little bit more. Some donated a little bit less. They did give her, it was $6,675 just to spend on herself. So they paid the mortgage off. They gave her a little cash, and it was just awesome to, you know, to watch this. And I think we need more stories like this, because I'm going to bombard you with stories that will make you shake your head this afternoon and kind of be rather depressed. But that is an awesome story. And I think, you know, I think things like that happen more often than we probably are aware of.
Where for sure.
They don't get as much attention, but this one got a lot of attention. Happy birthday, Jesse Hamilton. Congratulations on getting the house paid off. 326. It's Mark Reardon, 97.1 FM Talk, and a bunch of stuff to get to this afternoon. Of course, an audio cut of the day in the last hour. Coming up next, Josh Krasauer. He's one of my go-to politics guys. He's also a Nats fan, so he's going to rub in today's score for sure. It's all coming up next.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Well, the Cardinals won big last night, 14-1. I was hoping I'd have another victory to rub into my good buddy Josh Krasauer from the National Journal. But alas, your Nationals managed to win 6-0, the game just final. How are you, Josh?
Hey, great to be back, Mark, on the new station. And, this is the first time I think I can actually sort of spike the football on a Cardinals postgame. Two out of three against St. Louis.
Was this really only their – isn't it like only their third or fourth victory on the season, though?
Yeah, we've gotten off to a slow start. We had a COVID scare. Right. We had a big outbreak in the clubhouse before the season started. So this is really the first series we've had with a full strength roster. So it's a good finally have a lineup that's fully healthy. And bad night last night, but we got the first and the last game.
Something tells me you and I are going to talk about a lot of ups and downs with both these teams this year. Yeah. I mean, that's my feeling with the Cardinals right now.
That's the great thing about a regular 162-game season. We're none of this 60-game, you know, shortened season stuff. So we're going to have a roller coaster ride no matter how things end up.
Well, let's talk about Washington and the Biden administration and some of the things that are happening. I was kind of perusing your Twitter here for a few things to ask you, and I thought this was interesting. I've had to remind my listeners and certainly some friends personally, when you criticize what the Biden administration is doing, maybe with what they did with the stimulus, whatever you want to call it, now on infrastructure, all the spending that's going on, I'm certainly concerned about that. I remain a fiscal conservative, but that kind of went out the window during the Trump era. But interestingly enough, perception is sometimes not reality, I don't know, or vice versa, because there's a poll that came out that shows that most people sort of blame the Biden administration for wanting to spend too much money.
Yeah, well, you know, it actually is pretty interesting that as partisan and as tribal as we've been and still are, that the stimulus proposal that drew unified Republican opposition, and even some of these fledgling plans on an infrastructure package, and it's really not just infrastructure, it's social spending, social welfare as well, is getting a fair reception from a lot of non-Democratic voters. Now, look, I think some of it is that Republicans haven't been fighting on the same economic turf that they're used to before President Trump. I mean, this is, you know, talking about controlling spending, balanced budgets, fiscal discipline. These used to be staples of Republican Party discourse. You didn't really have like a consistent and concerted opposition message from Republicans during the stimulus fight. You didn't hear a lot of talk about wasteful spending. And frankly, you know, the $1.9 trillion spending in the stimulus bill is almost exactly the same as the amount that Trump spent with the corporate and across-the-board tax cuts in his early years of his presidency. So, you know, I think we now have this bipartisan consensus that there's no such thing as deficits, and you can spend till the cows come home, and I think they may come back to bite Biden, but not in the short term, certainly.
One of the things that I love about Josh is he's willing to call, as I think I am, kind of BS on both sides when needed. And I just must ask you, because you've worked now through Democrat and Republican administrations, but just the stark difference in the media coverage between what we had for 4 years and what we have now with Joe Biden. And I haven't had a chance to talk to you about what's going on in Georgia, so I'm interested in your assessment there, because that whole thing got mangled, didn't it?
It did. There's a lot of things to talk about. I mean, to your broader point about the state of media coverage, everyone is playing sides. Everyone has their own tribe, whether you're a newspaper or a TV station. And, you know, I was on Morning Joe a few weeks ago, and I was trying to explain that Biden really hasn't been that bipartisan. And I got all kinds of hate mail from people who thought I was too critical. And then I go on Fox, and I'm critical of President Trump at times, and I get a lot of hate mail from conservatives who think I'm being too tough. I mean, the job of a journalist, a good journalist, at least I think, is to be tough on all sides, to hold everyone in power accountable. And that's what I've done in my career. But, you know, you're right that there's a trend that you're playing sides. You're taking even some journalists are associated with more ideological publications or, you know, feel like they have to have some kind of moral authority and taking sides in their coverage. And I don't think that's good for journalism. I don't think that's good for our politics. To the point in Georgia, that's what's kind of happened in Georgia. Both parties try to game the system, if you will, try to get every little advantage that they can possibly garner. In the case of this bill, there was some problematic stuff that was being proposed and talked about in the run-up to this legislation. But the funny story that hasn't been really talked about is that corporations and some of the leadership in the Republican Party, including the Republicans who criticized President Trump, actually worked to take out almost all the problematic parts of the proposals, and they really passed what I would consider a pretty mainstream,
right,
fair-minded election law. But because Democrats, just like Republicans, need to talk about voter fraud to rile up their base and to get people all angry and to the polls, Democrats need to talk about Jim Crow and voter suppression, even when the facts of the legislation, the facts of the text of this bill, really doesn't even, you know, that doesn't even do what a lot of these critics are saying it does. So I think, you know, this is sort of a big political kabuki play where both sides are trying to gin up their base until Major League Baseball pulled out of Atlanta, and everyone starts to lose out on what everyone was looking forward to in the Summer Classic, and then the All-Star game in July. So, you know, there's a lot of political kabuki theater going on, and I think it's important to kind of separate what really is bad legislation or what is bad law versus what is sort of political symbolism. And the Georgia election bill was pretty standard fare for election law, but it ended up being mischaracterized as suppression when that really hard to make that case.
Yeah, I think it's hard to make that case too, but it didn't stop everyone from making that case. On infrastructure right now, and I've said this, you and I have talked about it, I think that Trump should have come out of the gate with infrastructure. Now you have a situation where much of what they're proposing is infrastructure related, but then there are these other things as well that seem out there on the fringe, and there's a lot of money that's going to be spent. So again, Republicans don't have the ground that they used to when it comes to criticizing spending, but what are your expectations here? Because there's not a whole lot they can do about it, right?
So the debates in the Biden administration have been within the Democratic Party. I mean, they've been trying to have some meetings with Republicans these last couple days. They did the same thing with the stimulus bill, but I'll believe any kind of real bipartisan compromise when I see it. I mean, the MO of this Biden administration is to get as much from 50 Democratic Senate votes as you possibly can. The challenge, Mark, with this infrastructure bill is that, you know, raising it's easy when you throw $1.9 trillion around and you don't have to pay for it. This infrastructure plan is going to have some revenue generation through tax increases. Now, it may be just corporate tax increases. It may be on the upper end of the income bracket tax increases, but there's going to be a little pain along with the gain. So that is going to give Republicans an opportunity to oppose what's coming down the pike. The downside of just doing everything on a partisan basis, as it seems like Biden is eager to do, is number one, you're relying on Joe Manchin. You're relying on, you know, two or three Democrats having cold feet and changing their minds in the House. There's not a whole lot of room for error if a few Democrats decide that he can't support what he's proposing. But also, you know, look, if the economy goes south or if it overheats, I mean, they're betting on a good economy going into the midterm elections, but they haven't bought any insurance. If anything goes wrong, they're going to take the blame because they've done everything in such a partisan way to start the administration.
So there have been two areas where I think that are ripe for criticism, and they've certainly gotten it, but not to the level that Donald Trump would. One would be on immigration, what's happening at the border, where it's seemingly, most of the mainstream media is giving the Biden administration a pass. And then I think maybe some of it is on what happened this week with the J&J shot, because I don't think they handled that properly either. But again, there's kid gloves that are being used here with this administration for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, immigration, I mean, I will say I think that that's gotten the appropriate degree of scrutiny. I think it's going to be a problem if we continue to see the degree of unaccompanied, undocumented illegal immigrants crossing the border, where we're already on pace to set a record high if the trajectory doesn't slow down. And it's not just image. It's there's going to be a reality. You see all these stories of the government trying to procure hotels and facilities on the border because they don't have space to house this influx of illegal immigration. So, you know, this is a real challenge. It's nothing new, but the problem seems to be worse than it's been in quite some time. And that's these are the issues that Trump was able to exploit when he was president that Republicans used in the 2016 election. So I think Democrats are very cognizant about the vulnerability they could have on this front. Especially there was some reporting that Biden didn't want to settle more refugees in the country because of fear that they could lead to a political backlash. So they're cognizant about the political issues there. You know, I think Biden's done pretty well on the vaccine front. The Johnson & Johnson issue aside, his highest scores in the polls have been people being satisfied with the pace.
Well, I don't disagree with that. My criticism would be just on, you know, the way they pulled back on the J&J just didn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. Josh Krasauer, I guess congratulations that the Nats took the series. I was hoping it would turn out otherwise. Last night was a fun game to attend. We'll have plenty of baseball, plenty of politics to talk about throughout the year. Appreciate you coming on the FM signal for the first time, Josh.
Yeah, the stereo sound. It sounds great.
Yeah, the music sounds good, too. Well, thanks. We'll talk soon, all right?
See you, Mark.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
My buddy Jazz Shaw from hotair.com coming up after the top of the hour. Some things on what's happening in Minnesota, or Brooklyn Center, if you will. And Jazz got a couple other things, even some of them space-related to get into. Tom Homan is the former acting ICE director, and he's going to be with us in the next hour as well. Did anyone watch the 60 Minutes? I still have it in the DVR because I've not been a big fan of 60 Minutes in the past few weeks with their stories. However,
sure. No
every
doubt.
Once in a while, there are stories that I want to see. And we promoted this last week, and I played a little audio because they did a piece on some of this music that's in Prince's vault. John Wertheim was the correspondent. Sue, did you see it by any chance?
No, and I love Prince. Wait, so you're saying that he this isn't something they cobbled together. This is something that Prince was working on and had finished?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay.
I think it's
the cobbled together thing.
I think it's sort of cobbled. That's typically how it goes. That's how it went with Michael Jackson, I know.
That's what I was thinking of.
After he died.
Okay. So they took pieces of stuff he had left or was working on and made an album out of it?
I believe so.
Okay.
I believe that is the, it's not something that he was ready to release or anything like that.
Okay. So, yeah, his keyboardist and musical director, you can hear Morris Hayes here talking about this. I had a great conversation a couple years ago. You know, Kenny Wallace, who was on the show a couple weeks ago, he introduced
hard to
me.
Forget.
We were at a baseball game. I know, right? He's memorable. We were at a baseball game a few years ago, and he's like, oh, because he knows how much I love music. He says, oh, you gotta meet my friend Scotty Baldwin. So we got Scotty on the phone. I interviewed him and actually did a profile on him. We used to do these things on KMOX called KMOX Profiles. Mm-hmm. He was Prince's longtime sound engineer.
Wow.
And he sort of, you know, was with Prince for several years, and then there would be a dust up, and then he wouldn't be there, and then Prince would bring him back. I mean, some of the stories are fascinating when you hear them. And the guy, every time you talk to anyone that's connected with Prince, he's just a genius. And you'll hear a small example of that here. And even though I missed the story the other night, I saw this clip. You know, they shot it out on social media, and it's so good, I thought we would play it here.
You know, Prince had an unpronounceable name at the time, and so David had to do everything with this.
Hang on. The host did not set this up properly.
Okay.
Let me do this one more time. This is a story about Prince. This is a story about Prince being on David Letterman's show.
Right?
So that's,
okay.
I kind of left out a very key point here.
You know, Prince had an unpronounceable name at the time. And so David had to do everything with this symbol. So every commercial break, he just made a joke about it. And Prince didn't think it was funny.
Can I call him Prince?
Oh, no. Yeah, you have to hold up the thing. Because...
So let me get this straight. He's watching Letterman make fun of the glyph, the symbol.
Yeah, yeah.
And that changed the way he performed his segment.
He's watching in the green room, and he's hot as cayenne peppers. We've rehearsed it. We know how it's going to go. He gets to the door, and he just says, do you have the gun sample? And I'm like, I can get it. He said, well, okay, put that on. I'm going to do like this at the end of the song. When I pull the trigger, you shoot the sample. And then Coco, our big bodyguard, he said, Coco's going to come grab me and drag me off the stage, and I won't have to shake his hand. And we're going to cut out the second verse, go straight to the bridge, and no mistakes.
So this is kind of the clip when they show what happened on Letterman. He puts kind of his fingers to his head, and he falls
like,
back.
I don't care. Like, I'm over it. And so he just said, we're going to make a little edit, and I'm going to do this thing. And then, bam, just like that.
And it worked. He didn't have to shake Letterman's hand.
He didn't shake. Yeah. David came out, and let me tell you, David was 38 hot, too, after it was over. He was walking through the hall swearing like, Prince can never come back to this show again. He was super hot, you know, because he knew what had happened and that it was a slight. He was very upset about the whole deal, too.
I'd love to hear Letterman's version of that because, you know, the other thing about it, it's always been well established. I think we talked about it recently, that Dave had a different style than Jay Leno and Jimmy Fallon or some of these other guys. So Letterman never wanted to meet his guests. So if you were Sue Thomas, if you were a guest on his show, he would not greet you in the green room, wouldn't come up and say, Sue, how are you? Looking forward to the chat. He always wanted that to have a little tension.
I get that.
His, it was just his style. Leno was the opposite way. It's like, hey, how you doing, Jay? And he would talk to me.
That's pretty good.
Not the best Leno, but.
That was pretty good.
By the way, he's, you know, one of my, I watched Jay Leno relatively religiously. Mainly because he had great guests when he was in his heyday. I switched back and forth, and I'm a big Conan guy as well. But I'm a fan of Tim Allen's show. This is one of my guilty network pleasures. In fact, it might be the only sitcom that I watch that's on one of the traditional networks, Last Man Standing. I don't know if you know that show.
Yeah, I do.
I think it's funny. It has a bit of a, you know, because Tim Allen plays a conservative, cranky guy who owns an outdoor show. But Leno, they've been friends for years because they have roots, you know, in Hollywood doing comedy. But Leno's on that show. Have you ever seen? He's just awful.
Yes, I have actually. He plays a character.
He doesn't play himself, or does he play himself?
No, he doesn't play himself. He plays a car guy who fixed a car, and then he's part of the cast, and he comes in. It's the worst acting you've ever seen in your life. I mean, it is horrific acting. Yeah. It's not even close.
Tim Allen goes on Leno's car show, the Leno's Garage. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if they're just doing a little bit of reciprocal,
buds.
You know?
Yeah, I think they're just buds.
They're buddies, exactly.
Yeah, and they're just buds.
But, man, being friends and watching what transpires on that show, when you see the level of acting, it's the only thing, honestly, God, and it's almost to the point where it's comical in and of itself, where when he has a scene, you're like, really? And Last Man Standing was a relatively funny show, I think, for years. It got canceled on ABC, and then Fox brought it back.
Canceled and then revived.
Hasn't been quite the same.
Wait a minute.
They
okay.
lost some characters,
when
too.
You watch Leno on this show acting, can you tell that he thinks that he's terrible? Or you know what I'm saying?
No, I think...
You think he really thinks he's killing it?
You would think maybe he does, but I don't know if he does think that, because it's just awkward and brutal, and... He has some really, really nasty, naughty pictures of Tim Allen. That's the only thing I can think. It's 355, 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!